Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word and encounter you, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And elementary age kids, if you'd like to participate, if you haven't already, you can head to the back to meet your teachers. So a Bible scholar named B.B. Warfield wrote this about the word redemption back in 1916. He saw that the word was being forgotten and misunderstood, and he wrote that we are, quote, assisting at the deathbed of a word. It's sad to witness the death of any worthy thing, even a worthy word. And worthy words do die, like any other worthy thing, if we do not take good care of them. So today, using his term, we are beginning a series we're calling Worthy Words. And we'll look at some good Bible words that we use around here fairly often, some more than others, but words from Scripture, but perhaps have never sat down to really think about all that those terms are trying to communicate to us. Now, the goal here is not to study the dictionary, but to use these words as a better way to understand Scripture and the amazing work of God for us. And so each week throughout this series, we will look at a different worthy word from the Bible. Today, our first in the series, our first worthy word is actually a word you've heard already, whether you knew it or not, is a word we've already heard four or five times this morning, redemption. Our worthy word this morning is redemption. Now, when we think of redemption, we think primarily of it as a religious term. It's a Bible word. That's the main place in our culture that you would hear that word. But people in the time of Jesus knew it as a standard non-religious term. It was a common marketplace word. Everyone knew what redemption was, and that's part of why the early Christians especially picked it up as a great word to explain what Jesus has done for us, because everybody already knew what it meant. Land, animals, and even people could be redeemed. So, for example, if the Old Testament law required that you sacrifice a certain one of your animals, but you didn't want to lose that animal, maybe you didn't have very many, or maybe that one was special to you for some reason, you could redeem it by giving something else in its place and then giving a little bit more in order to purchase that animal back from death. If land was sold, the one who sold it could then later raise the money and go back and redeem it, buy it back. If an army came in, sometimes the conquering army, sometimes you just got hosed and they just slaughtered everybody, but sometimes what they would do is, if you were a commoner, this didn't apply to you, but if you were a noble, I think this is self-preservation, nobles would treat nobles this way sometimes, but if the conquering army came in, sometimes what they would do is they would let people know that we have such and such a noble in our power right now, you can come and redeem him, meaning you can come at a price, pay us, and we'll let him go. So when redemption language is used in the Bible, the core concept of what that's getting at, and if you have your bulletins, this is the fill-in there, the core concept of redemption is liberation through the payment of a price. Liberation through the payment of a price. Setting someone or setting something free through a costly payment. Liberation through the payment of a price. And the idea that it costs something is essential to redemption language, and we'll see more of that in a minute. But that's what people of Jesus's day, that's what people of Paul's day, that's what people who read the Old Testament scriptures heard when redemption language was used. That's what people heard when, for example, Paul writes in Colossians 1:14 that in Jesus we have redemption. Liberation, freedom, rescue, deliverance at a price. But as I said before, the goal here is not to just study a word, but to study the Bible and to come to know God better and what he has done for us in Christ. So we're going to look today at what the Bible says about this word, this key term, this worthy word. And so using this basic definition of liberation through the payment of a price, we're going to look at three essential pieces, three components of what the Bible is trying to get at through using this word over and over and over again. So redemption. First, the need for redemption. It says this about us because we need it. The reason redemption language was used of what God does for us in Jesus, the reason that term, the reason that concept would be used begins with the fact that we need liberation. See, slaves need to be freed. Slaves are liberated. The oppressed are liberated. Those occupied by evil foreign armies are liberated. And so by using the term redemption about our situation, the Bible teaches that we are trapped, enslaved, oppressed, without a way out on our own. Romans 6:17 says that without Jesus, we are slaves to sin. Galatians 3:13 says that without Jesus, we are slaves to the law and its requirements and consequences. 1 Peter 1:18 says that without Jesus, we are slaves to an empty way of life. The Bible teaches that we find ourselves in a disastrous situation, being slaves to, as Colossians 1:13 says, slaves to the domain of darkness. And so when the Bible speaks of redemption, that's what it's pointing to. In ourselves, we are under the power and subjection to cosmic forces that are opposed to God. We're enslaved to empty ideas, to the power of sin, to the futility of a life without meaning. And redemption language teaches us that we are in bondage in ourselves and we need liberation. Now, we see this perhaps most easily in our world with addictions. People who feel truly powerless to stop something or who choose to continue to do something even though it's so damaging. So sort of obvious examples of that are things like alcoholism or drug addiction or pornography. But we see this liberation, this need for liberation in plenty of other ways as well. So I'll tell you, as a pastor, one of the most common things I hear from people who are struggling with some form of sin in their life, one of the most common things I hear is, that's just the way I am, as a defense for behaving in a certain way. That's just the way I am. I avoid conflict at all costs as a reason for not doing a mature thing to seek reconciliation. That's just the way I am. I was made to be a parent, used to justify overindulging their children or finding too much personal identity in parenting. That's just the way I am. I'm sexually attracted to that group, whoever that group is. That's just the way I am. I have a temper. It's not my fault. The fact is, we do know this experience of being trapped under forces with no way out. And when the Bible speaks of God redeeming us, the beginning point of all of that is the fact that we need to be redeemed. We need to be liberated. So we start with the need for redemption. And second, this language points us to the price of redemption. The price of redemption. This is an essential piece of what redemption language in the Bible is pointing to. This is not just deliverance in general, it's the very specific liberation through the payment of a price. There is a cost to redeeming someone. So when the Bible says that God redeems us, we're supposed to realize that there was a cost for him to do that. So in our reading today from Mark chapter 10, our gospel reading read a few minutes ago, from verse 45, it says, "For the Son of Man," that is Jesus, "the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now I will say that studying the original biblical languages of Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic is incredibly important for some people to do to help everybody else. But we can read and understand, and I want to give you be encouraging to you, you can read and understand and trust the scriptures translated into English that you have in your possession. But this is one of those places where understanding the original language, it doesn't give you some insight that you wouldn't get in English that it's wrong, but you can see it a little bit clearer, because English words are a little bit different. So I just want to point this out. The word here, ransom, Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many, that word literally is, he gave his life as the price paid to redeem someone. That's what it's getting at. And so if you will permit me to completely butcher some Greek words and Englishize them to make the point, it's saying Jesus lutraoed us by becoming our lutron. Can you hear how they're similar? Redeemed and ransomed don't sound similar in English, but they do in the original. That was the point being made. Jesus redeemed us by becoming our redemption price, by becoming our ransom. A ransom in biblical usage is the price paid to redeem someone. Jesus himself became the price paid to set us free. God didn't wave his hand and we were free. Our freedom was costly. It came at the cost of Jesus becoming one of us and offering himself on the cross as our ransom. We are set free by his death for us. So 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed." You know, your freedom wasn't bought with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the cost. That's the price of our redemption. And so when the Bible speaks of redemption, it teaches us that we are trapped and in need of liberation, and the price paid for our release was Jesus himself. He himself became the price of immeasurable value paid to set you free. The price of redemption. And third, the result of redemption. We were in slavery to sin, trapped with no way to free ourselves. Jesus becomes our ransom, our redemption price to set us free. And now, in Jesus, we are free. When the Bible speaks of redemption, the culmination of that redemption, the result of that redemption, is that in Jesus we are now free. For freedom Christ has set you free, Galatians 5:1. No longer slaves, no longer under enemy occupation, but liberated and free in Jesus. As Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We were in bondage over there, and now we're set free here. We were under that kingdom, but now we're free in his kingdom. We were forced to follow that old taskmaster sin, but now we have been welcomed in by our Lord and Savior, and service in his kingdom is true freedom. In Jesus, through his death and resurrection, through the price of his own blood shed on the cross, we are set free. Sin is defeated, death has been put on notice, and all who are in Jesus are set free to live and love and serve him in fullness of joy. The result of redemption, freedom in Jesus. Now, I want to tell you a true story that can help put redemption, what Jesus has done for us, into perspective. This is what redemption language is supposed to bring to your mind and to your heart. So I want to share a true story that this person shared with me. When I was living in Pennsylvania, I met a young Chinese woman at church and had the opportunity to hear some of her story. When she was about 8 years old, she was about 30 when she told me her story. When she was about 8 years old, her parents, in their desperation, sold her into slavery to pay off a medical debt. And here she was, some 20 years later, struggling to hold back tears as she recounts her experience of literally being sold into slavery by her parents. And then she told of how an aunt of hers heard about what her parents had done in their desperation and extreme poverty. And this aunt went around to everybody she knew, neighbors, family members, all of whom were desperately poor, trying desperately to collect enough money to buy this girl back. And she worked all night and somehow managed to collect just enough money to pay the girl's new owner in the morning before he could take her away. And this woman telling her story, struggled to find the words to express the gratitude to God and to her aunt for what she had done. Her aunt ransomed her, redeemed her from slavery, literally bought her back from the horrors that awaited her the next day. That is redemption. And that is what is communicated when the Bible says that Jesus redeems us. He saves us from slavery to sin and death and hell, and he gives us new life and freedom in him. When the Bible speaks of Jesus as our Redeemer, that's what it's talking about. One who literally moved heaven and earth to free us from bondage. The one who paid our ultimate price for our release. Who left the glory of heaven to become a human being like us, to come and get us, to become himself the ransom price paid for our freedom. And the one who gives us that freedom and gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can live in that freedom. In Jesus, we have redemption. So let us express our gratitude for the redemption that we have in Jesus. Let us look with joy and gratitude and amazement at our Redeemer, who did not leave us in bondage, but invaded our world to rescue us at great cost. And I especially invite you to hear this message of redemption again this morning as we celebrate communion in a few minutes. Listen to the words of redemption declared to us every week in our liturgy. If we pay attention, we will hear this message repeated every week we're together. You cannot hear this too often. So in a few minutes, we'll stand behind the table and we will say these words. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had sinned against you and become subject to evil and death, that slavery language, we were subject to evil and death. You, in your mercy, sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for our salvation. In obedience to your will, he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself once for all, that by his suffering and death, that's the price paid, through his suffering and death, we might be saved. And by his resurrection, he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet, setting us free. And as we hear this, and as we better understand the amazing truth declared to us each week, it should lead us to stand in awe of who God is and what he has done for us in Jesus. And when we hear the word redemption, it should bring a smile to our face and tears to our eyes. And it should lead us to worship and praise the one who gave his life as a ransom for us. So let redemption be a word that moves your soul as you come to know the truth of what Jesus has done for you more and more. Rectifying our disastrous problem by becoming himself the ransom price for us and by setting us free to love and be loved by God. Let's pray. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had sinned against you and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for our salvation. By the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, he became flesh and dwelt among us. In obedience to your will, he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself once for all as our ransom, our redemption price, that by his suffering and death we might be redeemed. By his resurrection he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the glorious redemption you have accomplished through the death and resurrection of Jesus in our place, buying us back from slavery and bondage to sin and death, and setting us free. In Jesus' name. Amen.